Should public broadcasting continue to receive government funding? That's today's big question. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Wednesday, October 10th. Every Wednesday at this time, we pick an issue from the news and two guests to debate it. And ever since Mitt Romney vowed to cut the federal subsidy to PBS in last week's debate, Big Bird has taken center stage in the campaign. Big Bird even showed up in an ad from President Obama's campaign, criticizing Mitt Romney for being easy on Wall Street while cracking down on Sesame Street. By the way, the Sesame Street workshop has asked President Obama's campaign to take down the Big Bird ad, saying does not want Big Bird to be political. And the Obama campaign is considering that request. Now, we're not going to debate the ad. We're going to debate whether or not public broadcasting should continue to receive government funding. We have two guests who have different views on this. And as always, we hope to hear from you, too, at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, and you will see on Facebook a link to our online poll. And you can vote online. We ask, should public broadcasting continue to receive government funding? Yes, no, or not sure. Let me welcome our guests. Very happy to have with us Josh Stearns, Journalism and Public Media Campaign Director with Free Press, a nonpartisan organization that advocates for universal and affordable internet access, diverse media ownership, vibrant public media, and quality journalism. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Joy.
Thanks very much, Josh, for being with us. And we also have with us Kevin Benversi. He is a political blogger from Milwaukee. He used to work at the Heritage Foundation. He served in the George W. Bush administration and worked on numerous state Republican campaigns, most recently U.S. Senator Ron Johnson's. He is also a commentator for the Wisconsin Reporter. And good morning to you.
Good morning, Joy. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Let's start with Josh. Why should public broadcasting keep its government funding?
Public broadcasting, still in this day and age of 200 channels and millions of choices online, provides something that we don't see anywhere else. It's still playing an important role in responding to the news and information needs of our communities, providing a safe place on the television dial as well as online for our children who want to learn and have safe children's entertainment to watch. And it reaches 99% of America for roughly $1.35 per capita per year. So this minimal federal investment is actually making sure that we have critical infrastructure in times of emergency for outreach to rural areas with educational programming that schools use to actually broadcast classes and other distance learning. And again and again and again, public broadcasting is ranked by the public the number one expenditure of taxpayer dollars after the Department of Defense. So we see that this is not only something that a few people think is a good idea, but a huge population, 73% of America, believe that we need to keep this funding because it's of vital use to their communities.
And why do you want to stop that funding, Kevin?
Well, I think that the reality is that those defenders of the current funding are living in a world that's kind of pre-1975. They still think that only quality programming exists on TBS. That doesn't exist anymore. The reality is that over the years, PBS, as well as other public broadcasting outfits, have created a self-sustaining funding model, be it either their pledge drives, be it their apparel sales. I mean, Sesame Street, you know, being obviously the one that what's going to be brought up the most during this hour, rakes in millions of dollars a year in toy sales from, you know, things like Elmo dolls, Tickle Me Elmo, Big Bird, backpacks, and so on and so forth. The reality is it could do it on its own. And the thinking that only PBS can provide quality television is, frankly, out of date. It's an argument that has passed its time. And in terms of children's programming, the number one children's show that's on at my brother's house, probably this morning, will not be Sesame Street. It will be Yo Gabba Gabba, which got its start on All Things on YouTube. So who knows what, you know.
Well, let's have Josh address a couple of those issues you brought up. There's quality TV and children's programming other places than PBS, Josh.
Oh, there absolutely is. I'm not out there to say that we should get rid of commercial TV. I love many aspects of commercial TV, and I think that there's a lot of great channels, a lot of great content out there. But I still think that public broadcasting, both on radio and TV, provides a kind of content that isn't provided anywhere else. And all you have to do is look at things like, Bravo is supposed to be an arts channel, and they have Desperate Housewives of, you know, this and that state. And that's not the kind of content that public broadcasting does. Public broadcasting still does Nova. It still does Nature. It still does these shows that are deeply educational. And in terms of children's programming, I myself have a four-year-old, and so I'm very immersed in this right now. And I know for a fact, because I've done the research, I've taken a hard look at these issues, because I'm very conscious about how my four-year-old consumes media, that public broadcasting invests in getting educational leaders, theorists, and teachers together to really inform the programming so that the programming is infused with research-based educational content. So I'm not saying it's the best thing out there, the only thing out there. I'm saying that it is something different that no one else is providing and something that as a nation, together, we have said over and over again that we are willing to and believe we must support.
What about, Josh, the argument that, for example, Sesame Street, with all of its merchandising, can survive on its own? It doesn't need government funding.
Well, Sesame Street itself released a comment this week that they, as an organization themselves, as a production company, actually don't get that much federal funding. And I think that that's a really legitimate point. The problem is that the people who carry Sesame Street, the 1,300 television radio stations that are out there, they do get federal funding. I think most people don't realize more than 70% of taxpayer dollars that go out to public broadcasting never touch these Washington, D.C. organizations. They go straight out to local communities. I mean, in the case of Wisconsin, for example, in 2011, Wisconsin received almost $10 million from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting to support vital educational content. And that is at the station level. So when we talk about cutting this funding, we're not talking about cutting Big Bird. Big Bird's the symbol. What we're talking about is cutting the stations, cutting the thing that brings Big Bird to your home, the thing that brings the radio morning programming into your home. And a report that came out last year, that Congress asked for a report, an independent analysis of whether there was any other funding mechanism that could fund this. And this report came back to Congress and said there actually isn't. And if we were to cut federal funding, we would see an immediate closure of tens of stations. So we're talking like as many as 90 stations could close their doors within a year if we cut this. So there isn't another funding model. Congress knows that. This report is out there. It was created independently. We need to step up because our nation believes overwhelmingly that we should invest in this, and we need to listen to the people in this case.
All right. Well, Kevin, what about the, especially the rural stations or small town stations, public stations that would be hurt by a cut or an elimination of federal funding?
Well, I think, that's a valid argument. I know it's the one that's always brought up the most, that rural stations will be the ones hit the most compared to something like Manhattan, where you will have a larger pledge drive. That, I think, deals with more of how the heck PBS is divvying out the money between, local stations among itself. I mean, I think the reality is that, would it be that difficult to go half public, half private with some of these rural stations? I mean, there is no, you have to go all the way with commercials on some of these things. I mean, could they not seek out grants from corporations or, things like that? I mean, part of the thing with a lot of people who are for public broadcasting, more or less, they feel they don't want commercial TV, which I guess that's fine if you don't want that. I mean, there's things out there already. But, I mean, PBS on its own is, has become kind of like every other giant corporate juggernaut in media. I mean, it's paid millions of dollars for things to get Downton Abbey from the BBC or how many other shows that they've grabbed over the years. I mean, it's just a question of how are they priority spending, and you know, do they, you know, are they more compared about, you know, keeping some of their stations around or having to continue the quality of programming that they're about? I mean, there are funding sources out there beyond the taxpayer. That's the question that, you know, I question, you know, the government report. I haven't seen the government report that Josh brings up. Would like to read it, because I mean that the Simpson-Bowles Commission, the President's Debt Commission, has flat out said in 2011 that one of its suggestions was to complete the elimination of the subsidy to public broadcasting. So that was kind of an interesting thing to suddenly have defenders of it, you know, probably the Ed Markey's of the world, congressman from Massachusetts, who's always usually the biggest cheerleader for public broadcasting funding, suddenly come up with a report saying, oh, there's no money out there. Kansas thought there probably is money out there, and, you know, it's just a matter of how you look for it.
Let me jump in. We will continue talking about today's big question. Should public broadcasting continue to receive government funding? And we will take your views on this as well. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin Public Radio is listener-supported, and we are in our fall membership drive. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, and we're asking you to go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 right now to make a gift in support of the programs you count on.
Yep, last hour the goal was 25 pledges. We came up a little bit short. We heard from 16 of you. So thank you very much for those pledges. This hour our goal is 40 pledges, and this is kind of encouraging already. It's our first pitch break of this hour, and we've already heard from 11 of you. So we need 29 more by 8 o'clock is what it comes down to. Help us make that goal by making a contribution right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and the programs you enjoy will be here every day on Wisconsin Public Radio, thanks to your gift.
On Wisconsin Public Radio's Ideas Network, you hear substantial topics. We know that you want more than just a headline, and we're sure to go in depth on the issues that matter to you. Every Wednesday at this time, we pick a big question, a big issue facing the state or nation or the world for that matter, and then we find two guests who have different viewpoints on that particular issue. Today, it happens to be the federal funding of public broadcasting, because that is the central issue in the presidential campaign this week. So we have two guests talking about the pros and cons of continued federal funding of public broadcasting during today's big question. But every week, it's a different issue, and we go in depth. And you appreciate hearing these topics and guests, and you appreciate being able to add your own views as well. So if you appreciate this, and we know you do, please make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we've really made the whole giving process about as simple as it could be. All we need is your name, your contact information, the amount of your pledge, and how you'd like to pay for it.
You save time and money if you use a credit card. Or better yet, you can also start automatic sustaining donations from your bank account. You choose how to give, and then you do it at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, it's easy to take Wisconsin Public Radio for granted. You tune in to WPR, and every time you hear something good.
But if you travel around the country, and we've heard from listeners who have done this, you'll realize what a gem we have here in Wisconsin. We are proud of Wisconsin Public Radio, and you can be too, because you make it possible with your support.
Don't take it for granted. It's something very special. And help make it possible with your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You like to make a positive difference in your community, and here's a way that's simple and powerful. Become a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio. Set up an ongoing contribution of $10 or $20 a month. Your generosity will enrich the lives of more than 200,000 people who listen to WPR every day.
You can make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, and we are asking you to consider a donation of any amount, but maybe you would like to do a $10 a month contribution or a $20 a month contribution and become a sustaining member. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And really, if, you know, some people, we hear this question every now and then, you know, does my pledge really matter? Well, absolutely it does, even if it's only a few bucks, because if you chip in a little bit and someone up in Superior chips in a little bit and, say, someone in Sheboygan chips in a little bit, that's all going to add up. And we'll put that in with all our other pledges from our great members, and that'll help ensure that our programs will be here to stay for some time to come. And you can get in on the party at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks very much. If you're already a member of Wisconsin Public Radio, maybe you're already a sustainer, or you renew through the mail, maybe you've already made your pledge during this pledge drive, but right now, how about you? Is it time to renew? Have you ever made a pledge before? It's really easy. You just have to go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Bill, 12 pledges toward that 40-pledge goal for this hour, so we're off to a good start.
We are. We need 28 more of you to do the same by 8 o'clock, and we'll reach that goal of 40. And that would be great to do. So take care of that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you for doing that.
All right. Thanks very much, Bill. We'll talk to you later. I'm Joy Cardine. This is today's big question. Should public broadcasting continue to receive government funding? And we will take your calls on that at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on Facebook and vote in our online poll. Our two guests are Jeff Stearns. He is a journalism and public media campaign director with Free Press. He says yes to continued federal funding of public broadcasting. And Kevin Benversi, who is a political blogger from Milwaukee. He's also a contributor for the Wisconsin Reporter. He says no to continued funding, government funding of public broadcasting. And Chris in Madison is our first caller on this topic. Hi, Chris.
Good morning.
Yes, go ahead, Chris.
I just wanted to point out the fact that looking at the amount of money spent on public broadcasting is minuscule. I believe it's something like 0.0012% of the national budget. And I know we were talking about, one of the guests brought up the fact that public broadcasting is the number one most liked expenditure beyond defense in America. And if you look at something like our defense budget, America is like 40% of the entire world defense budget is how much we spend. So we are five times more money spent on defense than the next highest country in the world. So if we're looking at a place to cut funding, cutting 0.0012% of our budget is nothing compared to the cost that we do in defense or healthcare.
All right. Thank you very much to Chris. Well, Kevin, what about that? Funding for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, about $445 million. That's a drop in the bucket, many say.
Well, it is. And the question comes, and I'm actually in favor of this happening federal budget-wide, is there should be an audit probably done of every single spending program out there, no matter what department is, no matter where it comes from, no matter how long it's gone into play. Part of the problem with, and I may be in wishful thinking on this number, I think probably there's easily about $100 to $200 billion worth in savings in the federal budget if we just eliminated things that were just being there because of budgetary inertia, the idea that we're only spending because, well, we've been spending that money, we should just keep spending that money with no real idea of either, one, if the program is self-sustaining, such as PBS and public broadcasting, or if it's just, you know, there to fill up some guy's, you know, coffers in, you know, Poughkeepsie, Mississippi, for all we know. It is a drop in the bucket when you're looking at things. But the reality is we're also looking at a $16 trillion deficit. And if you can't have the will to cut the small things, how the Sam Hill are we going to deal with entitlements when that nightmare comes and drops in our lap?
All right, Josh, what do you say to that?
I want to agree with Kevin on this and actually also correct one mistake he made, which I hear this mistake a lot. The Deficit Reduction Committee that the Obama administration put together that recommended at cutting public broadcasting, that recommendation was actually in an early draft report and never made it to the final report. So we should just be accurate when we talk about that. But in terms of what the impact of cutting this, of the corporation public broadcasting could be, and the overall deficit, these are tough times. Let's admit that. And we all should be looking at ways that we can cut back. And so, you know, in that regard, I think public broadcasting has already gotten ahead of that curve in that over the last 4 years, public broadcasting has actually cut the PTFP fund, which was this important fund that helped local stations rebuild their equipment when it got hit by tornadoes or hurricanes and maintain their equipment. That funding is cut. It's gone over the last 4 years. So there's a sacrifice they've made. Funding for digital projects has also been cut. So it's not like public broadcasting hasn't recognized the situation that we're in and has started to cut back. So we've already seen federal funding chipped away for public broadcasting. They're making sacrifices. And in fact, at the state level, over the last 5 years, $200 million have been cut from state budgets for public broadcasting. So these stations are already doing all that they can do with less and less dollars, and they're trying to make it work. So you know, I think that it's false to claim that no one's willing to cut public broadcasting. That's already happening. So let's stop the bleeding and support them where we're at right now.
Well, I don't know if we have time for I'm going to pose our next caller's question because we have so little time. Milton says public broadcasting has gotten away from its original mission of education. We are not educational anymore. Josh, what do you say?
Well, I think that the statistics seem to contradict that, and both the local statistics and national. So nationwide, it's public broadcasting is still deeply valued as one of the most important educational resources in the nation. Nine years in a row running, this has been the case. But at the local level, I think the functions of public broadcasting, I think it's really easy to get stuck looking at PBS as a national organization. Let's look at the local level. What are stations doing locally? We just saw amazing efforts around the country with local stations doing anti-dropout efforts. And we see places in like Oklahoma where the public broadcaster is actually carrying content from local schools so that distance learning can happen. The educational role of public broadcasting is changing. Kids are getting things on iPhone apps and online. But that educational role, I think, is still really central to public broadcasting.
This is today's big question. Should public broadcasting continue to receive government funding? We'll continue after we check the latest news. I'm Joy Curdine. This is the Ideas Network. We will continue discussing and debating today's big question. Should public broadcasting continue to receive government funding? In just a few minutes, I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins now. This is Wisconsin Public Radio's Fall Membership Drive. Our goal is to keep bringing you discussions with a wide variety of guests every single day, including our two different guests from two different perspectives, which is what we do every Wednesday during the big question. We do that in large part with listener contributions. Your gift of any amount right now makes a big difference as we raise the money we need to make these discussions possible. You can give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're looking for 21 pledges by 8 o'clock. 21 pledges by 8 o'clock. We're about halfway to our goal of 40, so thank you to those of you who've made that pledge already, including the 12 new members. So thank you very much. That's always encouraging to see.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't made that pledge yet, now's the time to do it. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, every day our team works very hard to bring you a great morning of radio, and it is a pleasure to be able to host this program. And, you know, I have not been able to thank my producers enough during this pledge drive. I mean, we're asking for contributions, and sometimes I run out of time to say that Bill Martins, who produced many of these programs, Amanda Magnus, Cynthia Schuster, Rob Ferret, work very, very hard every single day to find the very best guest to talk with you on the most interesting topics that are available. And I certainly appreciate their efforts in keeping me prepped for these talk shows. Say thank you to them with a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, it's a lot of fun, and we certainly enjoy doing it, and it's a pleasure producing for you as well. We learn a lot from doing these programs here, as I hope all of you do as well. Supporting Wisconsin Public Radio right now, it's a great thing to do with just 2 minutes of your time. That's it. All we need is your name, your contact information, how much you'd like to give, and how you'd like to pay. And whether you call or you pledge online, we keep your personal information safe. We don't share it with any other organization.
That's right. Your gift supports the programs that keep you connected to the world. So won't you give now any amount? You decide how much at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, not many radio stations have the mission to inform, to inspire, and engage their listeners, but we do. These values are right at the core of Wisconsin Public Radio. WPR is a place to discuss and debate the issues, a place to examine the past and imagine the future.
And it's not something that we do for you. It's something you do for yourself and your community. Because listener support is what makes this possible. Contribute now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
My name is Alyssa Wilder, and I listen to public radio. I'm in this transition in my life where I grew up, it was my parents' radio station, and I used to resent that it was on during the morning time. And it's a part of my memories as a child. It reminds me of the smell of cereal and pancakes. But now, as a young professional, I think that it's where I turn to learn about the world, and I'm learning something I tend to share conversationally. I'm a school teacher, and so sometimes I'm just surrounded by small kids, and I feel like all I know is the times tables and the history of Texas or something like that. And I think it's important for my own personal growth to have somewhere to learn more. You should support public radio so that programs can be on the air for everyone to learn and enjoy.
You can make your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, and we are asking you to decide how much Wisconsin Public Radio is worth to you, what fits into your budget, and then go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and make that contribution.
You know, it seems like we're never too far from an election cycle, the presidential election now less than 4 weeks away, from primaries to elections, be it local, state, or national. Something interesting is always happening, and Wisconsin Public Radio is always covering it.
And we have put all that information, by the way, on wisconsinvote.org. You'll find all sorts of Wisconsin Public Radio news stories and our Ideas Network talk shows. We are carrying all sorts of special coverage these days. So Wisconsin Public Radio carrying the debates, of course, and we'll be carrying the vice presidential debate.
And the candidate forums coming up
Thursday night. And then the candidate forums. We have invited all the Senate candidates and congressional candidates in Wisconsin to join us over the next couple of weeks, and have many of them that you will hear from starting next week. We've also reached out to the third-party presidential candidates as well. The presidential candidates who are not the major parties will be joining us. Some of them will be joining us starting next week as well. So help us make this all possible with your contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Bart from Hales Corners says, I listen regularly to Joy, Larry Mueller, and Ben Marins, among others. I hope my contribution will help to assure continued WPR programming in the future. Well, I'm pretty sure we'll do that for you, Bart. Your pledge and pledges from other listeners as well, like the 21 that have come in this hour already, we'll make sure that money is put to good use to ensure that those programs like this one are here to stay. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, thank you very much if you made your pledge already. If not, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks very very much, Bill. We'll talk to you later. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is our big question debate. Should public broadcasting continue to receive government funding? And we have two guests with us who have different answers to that question, and we're welcoming your answer or your question as well. Saying yes, keep the government funding for public broadcasting is Josh Stearns, journalism and public media campaign director with Free Press. And saying no, can't afford it, is Kevin Binversi, who is a political blogger from Milwaukee. He's also a commentator for the Wisconsin Reporter. And we have a number of callers and limited time, as it is our fun drive. Let's go next to Craig in Onalaska. Hi, Craig. What do you think?
Well, good morning. My feeling is that the amount of money that's being spent by the government is very, very small. I think the real argument that the conservatives are opposed to public radio because they believe that public radio is too liberal. And I think that's the real argument. I think that a lot of the other stuff is just smoke and mirrors. So,
all right. Well, Kevin, do you want to cut funding, government funding to public broadcasting because it's too liberal?
I think it's one of those things where I think it could be self-sustaining on its own. It has a rather successful business model they've been working on since 1967 when public broadcasting first began. Trust me, the irony is not lost on me that I'm doing this in the midst of a pledge drive.
And I'll have to say, this really is a coincidence. If it wasn't a major issue this week, we might not have done this, but here we are.
So no, I have nothing against the programming that's on any PBS, NPR, WPR station at all. During college, I actually enjoyed, and I think they just actually retired the program, Car Talk, during the weekends, based out of the Twin Cities. I went to college up at Eau Claire. So I have nothing against what's on any broadcasting. My only thing is there, justification, especially if they can do it on their own. Do they need the handout from the government? That's the real question here.
Mm-hmm. Josh?
Well, right, and as we've seen based on this congressional report, because Congress really wanted to take a hard look at this, and could public broadcasting do it on their own, and should they? And this independent report came back and said, no, they can't, and there's actually not another revenue stream that would work for public broadcasting. And the truth is, people in Wisconsin understand the power of a public trust. I mean, you have the Green Bay Packers. This is a public trust in the shape of a football team where it's community owned. It's collaboratively controlled and supported. And I think public broadcasting is in many ways the Green Bay Packers of the radio and TV. So we need to stand behind these things that we support. And I think that, again and again and again, we see that this is this really small investment. There isn't a replacement for it. And we should also look at what it does. This investment that the federal government makes, that us as taxpayers make, it goes into supporting things that no one else is going to support. You're not going to get a foundation to help support infrastructure and buying the soundboards and doing the engineering that it takes to broadcast a signal. You're not going to get that sort of underwriting. People want to underwrite programs and that sort of thing. The federal government puts in the infrastructure, helps invest in this critical infrastructure, and then we build upon it. I think public radio stations and TV stations match the government investment 6-1. So, Kevin, you said earlier, why couldn't this be a 50-50 public-private partnership? And you know what? It's already a 6-1 public-private partnership. It's one of the most successful public-private partnerships in America.
Kevin?
I understand where Josh is going on this. But the question is going. You have other options for quality programming beyond PBS. One of the most successful programs in recent days was Stephen Moffat's Sherlock Holmes series, which I think was on part of Masterpiece Theater. I have only watched that via Netflix. So there are other options to get quality programming. Even in the aftermarket. The question comes about, revenue streams and things like that. You bring up the Green Bay Packers. I kind of think of the public-private partnership of that. I'll keep that in mind the next time, anyone receives a dividend check from that quote-unquote non-profit organization. So, the question, you know, it's one of these things where I mean, I know you're going to have folks who are going, well, you know, yeah, we could do this, you know, without you know, private money. But I think the reality is, and I'm losing my train of thought here, and I'm sorry about that.
Well, I want to jump in because it's along these lines. And Nick on Facebook says PBS accounts for, you know, this minuscule amount of the federal budget, or another way to look at it, it costs each American $1.35 a year. The Learning Channel, Nick says, now known as TLC, was once a publicly funded channel. Now that it's been privatized, they show shows like Honey Boo Boo. I guess the point that our Facebook listener is saying is that, you know, if you have to have you know, commercial funding of your programming, it's not going to be as substantive, or as it's going to be junk, is what he's saying.
So there aren't channels like National Geographic or even Discovery, which, you know, is the fine folks that own TLC, which, frankly, that channel has been unwatchable since the John and Kate days. So, I mean, that's a decision that whoever the bigwigs who run that channel decided to become all reality all the time. And, I mean, I've seen Honey Boo Boo, and it frankly disgusts me, and that's only through minor little clips I've watched on Ease the Soup. So, but, I mean, the thing is, you know, everyone says, well, without PBS there wouldn't be quality programming. I mean, that's just unrealistic. I mean, Nova would have, you know, a great spot in, like, either on Discovery, the Science Channel, National Geographic. I mean, I personally enjoy watching History Channel 2's The Universe, which actually has a lot of the same scientists that Nova has.
Let's get Josh to respond to that.
Well, it's interesting what the Facebook commenter said, because that's actually mirrors what this independent federal report said, that if the public broadcasting system was to go to more of a commercial model or an ad-based model, one of the things that would probably have to happen is that, and this gets way into the weeds of how public broadcasting work, but there's these amazing, stringent funding guidelines that PBS puts in place about people producing shows for public television, who they can and can't accept donations and money from, because they want to avoid conflict of interest. So you look at a show like Nova, or you look at a show like Frontline, and they have all these ethical guidelines in place that are actually functioning, how that they can accept money. So you make sure you're avoiding conflicts of interest. And what this report said was that doing away with federal funding would mean having to do away with some of those protections and eroding the independence of the organization that's producing this content. So, again, it's not that there's not great content elsewhere. It's just that there's a different kind of content that we still need in America and that we still should be invested in.
Let me get you both to closing arguments, as we are out of time during today's big question, starting with Josh and ending with Kevin. Josh, we all love public broadcasting here at Wisconsin Public Radio, and all of our listeners obviously love public broadcasting, or they wouldn't be listening right now. But we also have this deficit and debt problem. What shouldn't we be trying to save money wherever we can, and shouldn't public broadcasting's federal money be on the chopping block?
Well, I think everyone who I've talked to around the country, in terms of people at public broadcasting stations, are trying to do the best they can with a little bit of money to make the most of it and stretch it to make it go as far as it can. And I think people believe that they're getting a lot for that $1.35 a year. And indeed, we've seen public broadcasting funding has been on the chopping block. We've seen that at the state level, where we've lost $200 million, and at the federal level, where we've lost important funds like PTFP funding to help repair equipment. So it's not that this hasn't been on the chopping block. That's just a mistake to say. Public broadcasting has taken their cuts. They've adjusted to the new fiscal climate, and they're just trying to continue to provide this incredible service that they provide and do it in a way that stays you know, independent, that remains the most trusted place to get news in America. And I think they're going to continue to do that, and we need to continue to support them. So I think that this tiny federal investment is really important and is continuing to pay dividends for our communities, especially at the local level. I think we need to look at the impact this would have on local stations who depend on this funding. And 73% of America agrees with that. And we need to have our policymakers representing the people that they're supposed to be representing.
All right. Thanks to Josh. Kevin, the majority of Americans support the funding of their public broadcasting stations, and it's a tiny amount of money. So why cut it?
Well, also, the majority of Americans think that all of PBS is publicly funded. I mean, so that's the problem, is that there's a lot of misconceptions going on about where this money is actually coming from, who's it coming from, and so on and so forth. I mean, as I said, there's a 6-to-1, you know, private-public, you know, differential here. So, I mean, the reality of all this is, it's always many things that were or even still are on PBS or public radio have created very strong self-sustaining business models to keep them going. You have pledge drives and so on and so forth. I mean, Reading Rainbow, for example, has moved on to the 21st century. Even though it's not being produced anymore, new programs with LeVar Burton, they've now come up with an iPad app, which is really amazing. I mean, I pass it on to my siblings who have young children who have iPads. And, you know, those are revenue streams that you wonder yourself, you know, has PBS, public broadcasting, looked into? So, I mean, I know it's always an emotional thing, you know, when it comes to public broadcasting. Oh, my God, you know, I'm going to lose this quality programming. I'm going to lose this. But I tend to think that probably wouldn't happen. I think you would have kind of situations where I think someone would step in, either, you know, as an individual philanthropist or, you know, as a corporation looking, you know, for, you know, the horror, a corporate, you know, tax break to help, you know, step in and help pay for public broadcasting and to keep that quality, you know, item on their TV.
I have to jump in. Thank you very much. Kevin Benversi, political blogger from Milwaukee. He used to work at the Heritage Foundation. He also worked on numerous state Republican campaigns, most recently U.S. Senator Ron Johnson's. And Josh Stearns was our other guest, journalism and public media campaign director with Free Press. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, and this is Wisconsin Public Radio's Fall Membership Drive, and we have a special incentive to get you to make your pledge right now.
We do, and if you have not made that pledge yet, this is the break to do it. Do it before 8 o'clock, and this is why. We have a $600 challenge grant from current WPR members. So it's a dollar-for-dollar grant, meaning if you make your pledge before 8 o'clock, it's essentially going to go twice as far. So if you make a pledge of $50, current WPR members will kick in another $50. So it's as good as $100. But that, again, that's only until 8 o'clock. So make that pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, very little time to get in that pledge and have it matched dollar-for-dollar. Had our big question guest talking a little bit long, but that's because it was an important discussion. We hope you appreciated it. WPR.org to make a pledge to help pay for these kinds of discussions, or 888-202-2552.
And we're looking for 14 more pledges to reach our goal this hour by 8 o'clock, that is. So we've got about 3 minutes to do that. Make that pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks to Robert from Plover, who pledged. He says, I find public radio to be fair, factual, and interesting, and I figured I should get out my wallet. Thank you, Robert. And if you get out your wallet within the next couple of minutes, we have a challenge grant to match that pledge. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And again, that is only until 8 o'clock, so you need to make that pledge now to ensure that your pledge is going to go twice as far. Monia and William from Racine say WPR is the only radio programming that we listen to. We wake up to it, sometimes go to sleep to it. Always listen in the car and throughout the day as much as possible. We'd be lost without WPR. Thank you, Monia and William, for that pledge and for your listenership. You can do it just like they did, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, we have this $600 challenge grant in effect until it's over, I guess. Mm-hmm. But we only have about a minute or so to ask you on air. I think they'll still honor your pledge and double it if you call during the news. So please do make your pledge now if you haven't yet. Double your pledge, double your impact, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
WPR.org or 888-202-2552. We're looking for 14 more of you to make that pledge of support to Wisconsin Public Radio in the next minute or so. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Do it because you appreciate these morning discussions and morning debates like The Big Question, because you enjoy hearing from different guests from different perspectives. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Double your pledge in the next couple of minutes.